The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, our guest is Dr. Debbie Metz, the superintendent of Waterworks in Cincinnati, Ohio, and our topic is water safety. In the news this week, some information about stress and hair loss. I'm into stress management big time, as many of you listeners will know. And it turns out, to no one's surprise, that yes, hair loss can be associated with high stress levels. Two different types, alopecia areata, which from a variety of factors are thought to cause this, including stress, where white blood cells, listen to this, the white blood cells actually attack the hair follicle and they stop hair growth and make it fall out. And the next category is called telogen effluvium, and that big mouthful is simply a condition where emotional or physical stress actually pushes large numbers of growing hair into a resting phase, and within a few months, those affected hairs may fall out suddenly when combing or washing. So stress and hair loss don't have to be permanent, not to scare you, and in fact, if you are under stress and get it under control, your hair may grow back. But please do remember that there are many other reasons, including medical reasons and medications, that can cause hair loss. And it's important that you get an accurate diagnosis and you talk to your doctor about appropriate management, be it stress management or otherwise, to get that under control whenever possible. And good luck to you. It's a common problem that I hear about with my clients. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Dr. Debbie Metz is the newly appointed superintendent of the Water Quality and Science Division for the Greater Cincinnati Waterworks and the Greater Cincinnati Municipal Sewer Department. She brings to us tonight over 30 years of experience with the Greater Cincinnati Waterworks. I met Dr. Debbie in 2000 at Xavier University when both of us were finishing up our MBA program. And she, congratulations, Debbie, has now achieved her PhD in environmental science from the University of Cincinnati. Welcome to Your Holistic Health.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kathy.
Well, since we're going to focus a bit on our neck of the woods, let's talk a bit about where we do get our drinking water in the greater Cincinnati, and if you know, Dayton areas, please.
Okay. Well, the greater Cincinnati area has two sources of water. The larger one, is the Ohio River, and that is a very plentiful supply of water, and it is requires a little bit more sophisticated treatment than our other source, which is located in the city of Fairfield and is wells. Now, the city of Dayton and Montgomery County, they get their water from wells. Mostly in the Great Miami Aquifer.
Okay, so it's a little bit of both in both mm-hmm. communities, so that's kind of interesting. How safe is this water? I bet you get asked this all the time.
I do. That's probably one of the most common questions that are asked. And we here in Greater Cincinnati have one of the safest systems in the United States because of the fact that we have a very complex treatment process at the river plant, including granular activated carbon, and shortly we'll be having UV technology as well. And the rest of the area are Fairfield Plant and also the Dayton-Montgomery County area. Their well fields have a lot of source water protection, zoning laws, and whatnot. And so these systems are also very closely watched so that the quality of the water is very good and very safe. And we are, of course, required to meet state and federal regulations.
Well, now I'm going to guess that there are very sophisticated testing assays or processes in both communities and probably in most major cities around the country of our size. And I again want to stress to our listeners that, you know, while the perception may be, gee, you know, it's Aaron Brockovich all over again. No, to the contrary, I think you have impressed upon me over the years that it continues to grow. The sophistication and the number and what is capable of being monitored continues to grow and expand. Is that true?
That is very true. You know, we run over 100,000 samples, almost 200,000 samples a year, many, many daily. And plus, the number of online water quality monitors, both through the treatment plants and out in our distribution system, has really skyrocketed up to about 300 monitors.
Is that a lot in terms of the national average, or what do you think?
I would say definitely our distribution system monitoring is among the cutting edge type systems in the United States. We were we started with a grant from the US EPA, and we were one of their test areas. So yes.
What a thrill to be able to work for an organization like that.
Yeah.
And what a thrill to be able to drink water that's safe.
Yeah.
Because water is life-giving, as we all know. Well, here's another provocative question, which I'm known for. How do the Cincinnati Public Water System sources and the Dayton, as well, if you know, compared to, say, bottled water regarding quality and quality standards?
Well, first of all, we are subject to the first initial standards. Now, that wasn't true a little over 10 years ago. But at this point, we are the qualities are very similar as far as what's required is very similar. About 50% of bottled water manufacturers get their water from the same sources as municipal waters do. One thing about bottled water, it's not required to be date stamped, so its quality can deteriorate over time. And there are like 700 potential, there's 700 brands of bottled water sold in the United States alone, and the source as well as the quality can vary quite a bit.
700 brands?
Yes.
That's stunning. I thought there were maybe 10. Where are these all? Are they just regionally marketed?
Well, the most common kinds are spring water, mineral water, and tap water that's been purified, and sparkling water, and then just some straight-up well water. But they're actually regulated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, too, which is a little bit different. They have the one time as it's going through their bottling plant where they're required to monitor, whereas drinking water systems are required to monitor from source to the tap.
Hmm.
So it's a little bit different.
Well, and I guess I'm thinking that one of the additional concerns with bottled is this plastic phenomenon, you know, and I'm going to get this wrong, but something to the effect that there are numbers on these various bottles on the bottom, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, and some of the numbers are safer plastic, quote unquote, than others. None of these should probably be kept in the heat or the sun, and yet we're putting them on our bicycles and riding in, you know, hot weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's an art in and of itself to get educated in this category. Would you not agree?
Yes, and, you know, about 86% of plastic water bottles used in the U.S. become garbage and are not recycled, which is sad. And it can take up to 1,000 years for buried plastic water bottles to biodegrade. So that is a concern to all of us.
Well, what we have at work is we're using Cincinnati water, and we have a filtered system in the hospital. And I feel pretty good about that. What would you say to that?
I think that as long, first of all, when you're talking about hospitals and you're talking about people that could be immunocompromised, there is adding additional filters or treatment can be a very good thing. I think that the key to any source like that, treatment device, is that it's operated correctly, that it has NSF certification to it, and that it's if something is supposed to be changed regularly, that it is changed regularly.
All right, so what I'm hearing is there is some accountability on human hands to actually do, you know, filter changes and be timely, as one would expect. Some of it is in how the manufacturing process is taking place, where the source of the water is coming from, anywhere from spring water to, I hate to say it, but recycled, wastewater.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I guess some continuity in terms of date stamping. Boy, that's a new one. Who would have guessed that that water sitting on the shelf in the grocery store could be quote-unquote expired, I guess. Is there such a thing?
Unfortunately, that is one of the issues that they're going to eventually need to deal with. Because I, you know, from time to time, for convenience sake, will use bottled water, but I'm always thinking now, should I keep this still or should I throw it out? And you're never quite exactly sure. I just personally wouldn't recommend keeping it around more than a few months.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. And I know you've heard me say this before, and this is probably, I have no evidence to support, but my instincts have told me over the years, just rotate through a lot of different brands, city water, bottled water, where you know you can get well water straight up, which I have done in Arizona, and I must say it smelled like sulfur, and I wasn't really doing real well with that. But the thinking is just to, you know, rotate through. So if there is any one source that's not as pure, if you will, as the other, that you're not constantly being bathed in that. Does that seem crazy to you, or does it make sense?
No, but, you know, to me it actually sounds interesting from another standpoint, and that is that waters contain minerals, and we still do not understand, and you would know this better than I, being the health professional, that, you know, which minerals are good for us and which minerals we need in trace amounts. And I think that important for us to not drink waters like distilled water where every last mineral is taken away from it, but to, if you vary your source of water just like you vary your diet, it sort of makes sense to me.
Oh, that makes me feel so much better. I trust you implicitly, you know, and there's no pressure there. All right, let's talk about that dreaded annual water quality report that comes to our homes. And you know, I mean, we've all seen them, that you open them up and very nicely laid out. I think they're incredibly informative. Help us try to ferret through the genuine intent of those reports.
Okay. Well, it's important for customers to know what is in the water, and especially like if you have some kind of a restriction to your diet, such as sodium, or, you know, you have other issues, it is good to know exactly what is in your water. And the United States Environmental Protection Agency actually gives us some set language on how, and some set formatting of how we need to present this to the public, because they want to make sure that the public is, you know, gets all the information and whatnot. It can be a little daunting, though, because it uses a lot of scientific terms, and it is, each component of the water is described in kind of a lot of detail. And I do think it can be overwhelming. So that's why we sort of marry ours with kind of a bit more like frequently asked questions and little tidbits of information, because we have the required language, we have everything that you need, but it is a little bit daunting, I would think.
Well, now I'm going to guess that the public, because of all the hype on this, and here I am the pharmacist, of course, I must say, worries about pharmacists, other people throwing prescription meds down the toilet, and now it's in the system, and how is that filtered, and is it trackable, traceable, all of the above. to the point that our profession was, you know, there was a call to action a few years ago, and they basically said, cease and desist, pharmacists, you need to find different ways of disposing, and I think it was well overdue. Are any of these prescription medications by newer assays traceable in the water?
And actually, yes, they are. But they're mostly traceable in the source waters. And water, as many people know, is the universal solvent. Everything dissolves in water. And when we're talking about the pharmaceuticals that might be in a stream or a well or whatever, we're talking at parts per trillion, which is very, very much below any therapeutic level that would, you know, do a lot, make a lot of difference. However, because there's a lot of different things, you know, we don't know, we wouldn't know the effects of some of those in the source water. So that's why we think it's very important to have GAC, granular activated carbon, or some way to remove trace organics from the water.
All right. Well, I mean, I can imagine that that would be overwhelming. And, you know, I think basically most people, I would believe, are more worried about pesticide runoff than they are prescription, you know, discards in the toilet. But it is out there. I wanted to share with our listeners that our industry is very sensitive to this concern, and we have made great strides. I mean, these are national associations that are asking us to do better diligence on how we discard expired meds or unused meds. And so I want to give you that confidence. Dr. Debbie, we're going to take a small break here. And tonight's show for our listeners is on water quality. We have Dr. Debbie Metz from the Cincinnati Water Works, the superintendent. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Your holistic health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a live broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. Tonight's guest is Dr. Debbie Metz. She is the superintendent of the Water Quality and Science Division for the Greater Cincinnati Water Works in the Greater Cincinnati Municipal Sewer Department. And tonight we're talking about water safety from lots of different sources, a very interesting topic. So, Debbie, I know you're a researcher with all of the education you've had. Talk to us a bit about some of the projects that you might be working on with regard to quality safety. And I want you to, at some point, tell us about your trip to Russia, your trips to Russia.
Okay. Well, first let me, I'll start out talking about one of my favorite projects, which I'm very excited to say is finally coming to fruition. And it was a study in disinfection. As you know, most utilities use chlorine to disinfect the water to make sure that the organisms, if there are any organisms, they're, I wouldn't say sterilized, but at least disinfected. Well, as things move on, they're finding that some things are not quite as well disinfected by chlorine. And so we have been doing studies for about 12 years now on UV, ultraviolet radiation. And it's really great because you can expose the water to it for milliseconds. It leaves no residual, and it does a really nice job of disinfecting. So we started out in petri dishes and working with universities and moved to the pilot phase. And now we're getting ready within the next few months to open up our full-scale UV facility. And I feel really pleased that this project, which started out as a research study, is now we have a huge building, and we will begin to use that technology as just an added multi-barrier to our treatment process.
Is this leading edge technology, and are you the only one of its kind in the country, or are there just growing?
Well, there are beginning to be more of these, but one of the things that makes ours unique is we have it after our granular activated carbon, which is our post-filter granular activated carbon, and that really cleans the water up extremely well, and so then when we use the UV, we do not need much energy at all in order to use this. In fact, we have solar panels on it, and we have additional solar panels around our facility that offset the additional cost of the electricity. So it is very unique in that way.
All right. Well, I'm impressed. I'm sure that our listeners must be as well. So that trip, or those trips to Russia, my friend?
Yes. Well, it was Ukraine, and I had been started out with our sister city, Kharkiv, in Ukraine, and we talked to them a lot about how we do things over here, and they talked about the way they did things there, and it was very positive. And after that time, the people, the USAID group that had been sponsoring that, had asked me to come back a few more times, and I just really enjoyed working with the Ukrainian people. I got to visit many, many facilities, and because they had just been released from communism, they had a lot of facilities that were like 50s vintage. So they were very excited about updating and moving forward and trying to also find ways to save money and cut costs. So it was a great experience for me to be able to work with them.
What was your sense of the cultural bonding between the Ukrainians and yourself during those trips?
I thought that, as I came back, I would see different groups, but the very last trip, we had like a workshop for all the groups we had visited, all the different cities, and, you know, seeing them having implemented a lot of the things that we had talked to them about was just so rewarding, and there was definitely, you know, a lot of pride on our part and a lot of happiness on their part, and that made it a really good experience for all involved, I believe.
Do you think you'll ever go back?
I would love to. At this point, the funding is not really as much as it was at that time, but I would love to go back just to visit some of the people I met as well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they would love to see you again, too. Thank you for sharing those exciting moments in history and personally for you and for, you know, the greater community of the world, really. Collaboratively. All right, let's turn a little bit now to filters, because I've only done a little bit of research on these, and I must say, here's another mind-boggling. Everything that you guys do is mind-boggling, but you seem to have an incredible way of making it simple and easily understood, so that's why we hired you on this show. I would like to know if you feel now, with all this technology that you've shared, should the average Cincinnati-Dayton home put an additional filter on their tap water? Just a regular old filter. I'm not talking reverse osmosis, but just an additional filter on the tap.
In most cases, I would say no. There are cases where we actually suggest, and we're getting ready to actually lend people filters, and that is if you have a lead service branch that is going to be disturbed through replacing it, repairing it, and you have this lead service branch and you're disrupting it, I think that would be a good time to consider using a type of filter that would be shown by the National Sanitation Foundation to remove lead. But that's the only case that comes to my mind, unless there are immunocompromised people, and that would usually involve something more like reverse osmosis.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, no.
Well, how do we know if we have lead or we don't? Is this age of home? Get a plumber over there to tell us? All of the above?
Well, the first thing is, and I'm not sure about the Dayton area, but if you live in the greater Cincinnati area and your home was built after 1922, you do not have a lead service branch. If it was built before 1922, you can call the Greater Cincinnati Water Works, area code 513-591-7700, and you can ask them if they can look you up, and they can tell you whether, well, at least our portion of the service branches led. Your own portion, you may have changed out, and we wouldn't have records of that, but we can tell you if at least our portion would be led.
All right, so in any major city in the country, the same process, you would call the local waterworks and tell them the age of your home and let them look up their records, and they could tell you, correct?
I believe so,
unless
you're in a really tiny community, but I think most of the major ones, yes.
Well, I'm going to be sure to tell my kids tonight to do that, because I bet they both live in very old homes, older than that, outside of the cities. But I'm just going to,
Normally, there's not a problem because, there's been scales and coatings on these branches, and they're not going to leach lead into the water. However, if you let the home sit for a long period of time with no one using the water, like I'm talking about weeks, that could be an issue, or if you disrupt the branch, those are the main problems.
Okay. All right. Now, what information can you share with us about, I'm going to give you two other comparators here for filters. I'm going to ask you about something called a zero water filter, and I want to compare that if it's different to the Brita pitcher filters, the plastic pitcher filters from Brita.
Well, and, we can't talk necessarily about specific brands, but there are differences in those two pitchers. I do know that. And the best way to find out about your pitchers or your filters is to get on the National Sanitation website, which is www.nsf.org.
S is in Sam.
And all these things are rated for what they will remove.
Okay. I apologize for interrupting, but was it N, S is in Sam, S is in Sam?
Yes. S is in Sam, F is in Foundation.
Oh,
this stands
for
the National Sanitation Foundation.
All right.
And they have, these filters are certified for what they can remove. Now, some of them aren't certified at all, but I believe both of these types are on there, and they will tell you what they remove, because they remove different things.
All right, so with a little bit of elbow work, one can really find out an incredible amount of information about water filters, recycling, bottles, plastics, regulations. I mean, frankly, I think it's fascinating. Maybe I should have gone into that career.
You could
have been with you. Yeah. We're coming up on the closing moments of our show. And of course, I must ask you, for our listeners' sake, where can they go to find out more about your incredible work and the Cincinnati Waterworks?
Well, if you want to look at our website, that'd be the best way. It would be www.cincinnati-oh.gov. And then you would hit the water department. And any place where you live, most of the larger systems will have their water quality reports and whatnot on their website. I know the city of Dayton does, and I'm assuming Montgomery County does, and many of the others.
Okay, and I guess I found something online. It's called the Environmental Working Group.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about them?
I do know about them. I have looked at some of what they do is very good. Other things, I think maybe they could get a little bit more data. That's my opinion, frankly.
Uh-huh.
The other safe groups to look at are the National Sanitation Foundation, the US EPA Safe Drinking Water Hotline, or their website. There are a lot of good things out there.
Awesome. My friend, we are all out of time. So I want to thank you, Dr. Debbie Metz from the Water Quality and Science Division for the Greater Cincinnati Waterworks, for being our guest tonight.
Thank you.
All right. I've got a quote of the week, and it's from Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. This is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum. You can visit my website at rxintegrativesolutions.com for more information on personalized wellness consultations. Please join in again next week at the same time to hear Barbara Steigman talk about environmental stewardship in faith communities, and her program is called Earth Keepers. And join me on February 16 in Cincinnati, Ohio, at Grailville Retreat Center for a series on menopause. Let's have some applause for menopause. For reservations, call 513-271-5881. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.